Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 6 through 11 and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, I just pray, God, now that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Money is the Root of Evil. Now, let me just say this. People that love to just have more and more and more, that's what destroys a person. There's nothing wrong with money. We need money. We're going to see this, that God gave us money to use, but it's a vehicle. It's for us to exist here while we await his return. Can I get an amen? But we're going to see, man, this peril a little later, but we're going to see how this plays out. And we're going to also see how money has corrupted people even today. Not just what we're reading in 1 Timothy chapter 6, because obviously that was a time where it was mentioned and was written down. But can you say to yourself today that it's still a type of evil to some people? Amen. So let's read verses 6 through 11 and let's allow the Holy Spirit to take us where he needs to. Verse 6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Can I get an amen? Amen. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Wow. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Amen? Amen. So let's break this down and let's look at verse 6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. How many of you are so blessed what God has given you thus far in life? Be content with it. Amen? Amen? If God has allowed you to pursue things here as a temporary basis, praise the Lord. But I've seen so many people who are there, they'll tap out a card, they'll tap out this just to get what the next door neighbor bought. And we're going to look at this, how this works. Well, the false teachers thought religion was a means to get rich. Instead, true religion is great wealth in itself when it's accompanied by contentment. There's got to be contentment in our life. One's religion does not come and go with the uncertainties of material wealth. Faith in Christ with contentment is great wealth. Can I get amen? Amen. Independent of one's bank book and possessions, the false teachers had it backwards. They had it totally wrong. True religion, that means faith with Christ or in Christ, requires training and develops inner spiritual qualities. When we come into the saving knowledge of God, there's some things that now we have to be disciplined in. Can I get amen? Amen. There's some things that God says, no, don't even go there because I delivered you from that. And I'm going to show you this little clip real soon that when you see this lady, you just pray for her. Just pray for her. And we'll get to that in a moment. Contentment grows from our attitude toward living God's way. To have contentment in Christ requires four decisions about the events and possessions of our life. Let's look at this right up here. We must focus on what God has already allowed us to have. Can I get amen? Amen. Amen. Some of you, God has given you tremendous, tremendous wealth, and we think it's monetary. No, it's spiritual wealth. We must disregard what we do not have. Okay, so next door neighbor just got a pool. Well, I want one too. No, you just go get to know your neighbor and ask, hey, every now and then, can I swim in your pool? That'll save you $100,000. We must refuse to covet what others may have. You don't need one that covets. And we must give thanks to God for each and all of his gifts. Can I get an amen? Amen. God, man, I'm telling you, God has gifted many of you. He has gifted me in ways that I could not ever imagine before I came into the saving knowledge. Man, everything was so corrupt. Everything was so covetous. But God had to destroy those things so that, did you know that God, this is what he does to us. He has to destroy things in our life, and then he rebuilds our life. So look at us like Humpty Dumpty. Remember Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, Humpty Dumpty, you know, and then he was put together again. God's putting us together day by day. And I love what he's doing in you, and I love what he's doing in me. I said, Lord, keep on, Lord. And even the things that he has to cut off. Oh, God, just take it. I don't need it. Saints, if we fail to make these decisions, our contentment will diminish. Finally, the great wealth that motivated the false teachers back in the days of Timothy was neither lasting nor capable of bringing contentment. Their earthly profits would be left behind. Just left behind. Everything that they obtained was left behind. Did you know that you can't take nothing into eternity? You came in this world naked, you're going to leave naked. Can I get an amen? Well, someone may clothe you in a coffin, but you're naked before God. So what brings great wealth has to do with eternal values. When material treasures become our focus, we quit contributing to our eternal accounts. Whatever gains we may experience in this life means nothing if they cause us eternal bankruptcy. Look what Matthew says right up here. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Try asking Bill Gates to honor the Lord. Try finding these billionaires or multimillionaires to honor God. Now, there are some that are saved. Praise God. Some of us met a wonderful family in Temecula. Multimillionaires. They love God. But then there are some that are just so corrupt. Saints, this statement regarding Matthew provides the key to spiritual growth and personal fulfillment. We should honor God and center our desires on him. Can I get amen?
Amen.
And we should be content with what God is doing in our lives. Be content with what God is doing in your life. Man, don't overstride. If you're going to pursue something, pursue him. Pursue the Lord with your whole heart. These things that center our life here on earth are passing away. It's material. It's going to be gone one day. And we're going to stand before God. Can I get amen? But look what Philippians says right up here. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Paul was content. Now, you got to remember, Paul was very wealthy. He was from the line of Benjamin. This guy was one of the greatest attorneys of the day. He was the highest rabbi, accoladed with all his degrees. This guy was knowledgeable of the Old Testament. He knew everything, and he was a wealthy man. But yet, he thought by destroying the church, he was doing God a favor. No, God had to get his intention. Can I get amen? And guess what God did? God had to rebuild him. He had to knock him off his beast, and then he gradually restored him to where God wanted him. And so we all know Paul's story. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten with rods. He was jailed. He was thrown out of a second-story window. He was bit by snakes. And why did all these things happen? Because he was pursuing Jesus now. and preaching the gospel. He goes, I know how to be abased and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can I get an amen? Amen. Come on. There's nothing impossible with God. Can I get an amen? Amen. So let's look at verse 7 in chapter 6. It says, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. So what can you take up into heaven? Huh? Nothing, huh? And when you came into the world, what did you bring? Nothing. God's word. You know, man's trying to get to another planet with a spaceship. And however far he goes, it'll still take another 7, maybe 100 trillion years before he exhausts his destiny, and yet the third heaven is still farther away. Where God lives, he lives in the third heaven. The second heaven is the universe. The first heaven is our atmosphere underneath the clouds. Underneath this atmosphere is the first heaven. That's why the Bible says, who is the God of this heaven? Who's the God of this world? Who? Who is? Anyone know that? Come on, we all know. Yeah, the enemy. Old Slewfoot. He rules the heavens here. Did you know that? But yet God is greater than him. And one day when Jesus comes, and he's coming soon, he's going to cast old Slewfoot into the pit, which burneth forever. Saints, Paul followed up his statement about the true source of contentment by discounting any hope of ultimate contentment based merely on this life. Listen, how many know the story of Job? You ever read Job? When this was documented, he was the Bill Gates of the day, meaning he had wealth beyond measure. He was the wealthiest man on the earth. And yet, he was stripped of everything. And the only thing left was his life and his wife that told him to curse God and die. Honey, please don't ever tell me that. Look at Job right here, Job 1. Then Job arose and he tore his robe because everything was taken away. He was being tested by God. Then Job arose and tore his robe and shaved his head and fell to the ground and worshiped. And look what he said. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. Praise God for your testimony, because you could have easily just cursed those folks out, huh? But you said, nah. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's what Job did. He lost everything. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. He lost his children. And he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. So when you get tested, are you going to be like Job? Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Or we're going to go, what up, man? What's up with this? Thank God for God gives us a choice. Saints, the correct perspective on material possessions, money, houses, clothing, vehicles, jewels, land, etc., remains eternally the same. It's all going to perish. They cannot last forever. We know that. We can lose, break, or ruin them in this life. We didn't bring them with us when we were born, and we cannot carry anything with us when we die. And look what it says here in Ecclesiastes. He who loves money shall never have enough. They just keep wanting more and more. The foolishness of thinking that wealth brings happiness, the more you have, the more you spend, right up to the limits of your income. So what is the advantage of wealth except perhaps to watch it as it runs through your fingers. This is the Living Bible translation, by the way. But it's in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's already written there. Look at verse 12. The man who works hard sleeps well, whether he eats little or much. But the rich must worry and suffer insomnia. In other words, man, if the market crashes, I'll lose all my billions. Remember the crash of 2008? Sister Rachel told me she was on a cruise ship during this time, and the market fell apart, and millionaires were diving into the water, committing suicide. Right, sister? Jump it off. Oh, yeah. That was their God. That was their God. There is another serious problem I have seen everywhere. Savings are put into risky investments that turn sour, and soon there is nothing left to pass on to one's son. The man who speculates is soon back to where he began with nothing. Man, God's word is so true, isn't it? It's so true. Listen, what God gives us is so that we can maintain our families, to be a blessing to our families, to be a blessing to our neighbors, to be a blessing to your church. But if it's to gain wealth and wealth upon wealth, or wealth upon wealth, you're chasing something that you cannot obtain. And so let's look at verse 8 in 1 Timothy chapter 6. It says, having food and clothing with these shall be content. Be content with those things. Saints, human beings, we all have basic needs. Can I get an amen? Believers and unbelievers alike require food and clothing, also, which implies shelter, for survival. That's what God gives. He gives us these things so that we can survive and exist on this planet. I'm so blessed that the way God created this planet, even though in its fallen state, it's still perfect in God's sight. You know why? Do you have to worry about your next breath? No, it just comes. Why? He made everything perfect. The air, the water, the food to eat, the shelter he has given us. It's all perfect by him. We complain sometimes. Whoa. No, God's up there saying, you know what? Maintain. Be thankful. Because when I come back and take you home, you're going to be blown away what I prepared for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Now, let's see how Hebrews took a look at this. Let's go to Hebrews 13:1. Look at this. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing some, having unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers, we all know God will judge. Let your conduct be without, there's the key word that I was looking for, covetousness. Covetousness is I want more, and I want more, and I want more, and I don't care what it takes to get it. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Listen, if God is saying, listen, I am your provider. I'm never going to leave you. I'll take care of everything in your life. Don't run after other idols and gods and things that you cannot obtain. Because God should be our all in all. Can I get an amen? So that we may boldly say, the Lord. This is how we proclaim to the unbelieving world. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Amen. So what if the market crashes? So what if they take your car away? So what? God is still going to provide. God is still going to care for you.
Yes, he does.
God's going to still make a way like there's no way. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Come on. He is our all in all. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's from everlasting to everlasting.
Hallelujah.
I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. Hallelujah. You got to believe God for your needs. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
He this is what he does. He steps by your wants and says, I have your needs. Thank you, God. Because we serve a mighty God. He's awesome. And he's the one we cry out to. Amen? Thank you, God. You know what? When's the last time you thanked him for your job? When's the last time you thanked him for what's coming in? When's the last time you thanked him for your family and the clothes and just shelter in itself? You know, we take sometimes advantage of that. And we forget, man, God is taking care of all this. And we need to praise him. So in contrast, saints, unbelievers are driven by society's standards and desires. Man, there's some commercials that, man, you just got to turn off. They just want you to covet for more and more and more and more. They cannot be content with only basic needs being met because they must always strive for more. So now, let's look at verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which draw men in destruction and perdition. Now we're going to go a little deeper here, because I'm about to show you something that it blew me away when I found it. And did you know the enemy has a strategy? The enemy has a strategy to corrupt a lot of people. And we're going to see something in just a moment. After stating the simple plan for living faithfully, saints, Paul challenged the world's view by showing the outcome of trying to gain contentment through the pursuit of wealth. The desire to be rich, by its very nature, a desire that cannot be satiated. In other words, that desire to want more and more, it's hard to quench that once you're going that direction. And you just got to have more, and you just got to have more, and you just got to have more. People who long to be rich cannot understand contentment because they could never have enough money. The temptation of money eventually traps people into doing anything to get money, illegal or immoral, even being willing to hurt others. I believe this next clip is, before we go there, I found this because this poor soul kind of like destroyed her life. And let me just say this, the enemy is strategic in almost every city, especially throughout California. And I'll explain to this, saints. A personal family member, I won't give it away, but a family member of the Sullivan family, about, I want to say maybe 7, 8 years ago, they loved to go down to Tijuana and play the horses. And then all of a sudden, I think it was called the 5 and 10. They hit the 5 and 10. It was like close to $72,000. Within 3 months, it was gone. And then they lost their home because they went chasing after it again. This is a serious matter in our society. Did you know that there's, I think, 6, maybe 7 casinos now that surround San Diego? And it's an enemy. I'm telling you, the enemy is very, very, I'm going to say, luring to especially these seniors. I went to go get our Christmas tree down at Plaza Bonita this year, and I was waiting for them to wrap it up and take it to the van, and I saw a long line that maybe almost wrapped around maybe a half a block, and there was a whole bunch of people just waiting in the line. I go, and I asked the guy, who are all these people? What are they waiting for? Oh, you'll see the buses coming right now. And here comes the Barona buses. And half of them, more than half of them, were seniors. Saints, there's a problem right now. And that's why tonight's study is based on the root, is to want more and more and more. This lady testified that she became an ugly person. And she went through all her retirement and her savings. Why? Because she wanted more. She wanted to, I don't know. Maybe she didn't want to live there no more. Maybe she wanted to move to Rancho Santa Fe. I don't know. But all I know is it's an epidemic. And that's why I pray. You know, there's nothing wrong with going in one. But man, if you get caught with that one-armed bandit, and last thing, and I'll move on. My younger brother, who trains, both brothers, David and Dale, they train boxers, and they train police officers, because they have what's called the Battle of the Badges. So all form of police type of authorities, which marshal, San Diego cops, Chula Vista cop, even the ones that work at Donovan's prisons, you know, those type of officers, they all register and they want to box against each other. And so they have it once a year called the Battle of the Badges. It's all law enforcement, you know, affiliated. So I remember we went to go watch one. And you had to go through the casinos to get to the back arena where the whole entire ring was set up and the people to sit down with. And I was walking through, and I looked to my right, and there was rows and rows of slot machines. And on top of the slot machines, some of them had the little statues from the Catholic Church. And I saw several of them. They would touch it. They would do the sign of the cross. They would put their money in, and bam. I said, oh, my gosh. You're kidding. I said, it was like, that was a you're kidding me moment. And I said, oh, Lord, I was just saying, Lord, help them, folks. They're trapped. They're being deceived. And because we have a fallen nature, it's easy to covet after something like that and then get trapped. So, people's desire for money feeds their greed. Soon their passion plunges them into ruin and destruction. So, we look at now verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Look at Ecclesiastes 5:10. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves abundance with his income. This too is vanity. And then we saw in Hebrews, let's look at that again. Make sure your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen with that? And so, saints, we're going to look at this story, and then we'll close. This story here is written here so that we can see what greed will do. Someone that's high and lofty, someone that has attained so much wealth and has no regard for God, has no regard for the needy, has no regard for his brother or sister, but just looks upon the impoverished as walking way above them. That people that are in poverty are basically castaways and people that you don't even want to be around with. Why? Because they smell or you know, they're just in need of hunger. They're hungry. How many people are even in our own downtown in Chula Vista, in our riverbeds? There's a whole bunch of them out there. But let's look at this right up here. The rich man and Lazarus. Are you familiar with that story? Let's go to Luke 16. There was a rich man who dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. Ouch. Verse 22. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died. Did you know that the billionaires will eventually die too? They can have the best doctors, and yet their time will come. So the rich man died also and was buried. Now look at verse 23. It gets very interesting here. In Hades, where he was in torment, this rich man went to hell. He was in torment. And he looked up and he saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So here he is. He's in torment. That lets me know that those who are in torment can see the heavens above and they can't get there. Look at this. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus just to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I am in agony in this fire. Whoa. That place is real. Someone tries to tell you, well, I don't, you know, this is just an allegory. This is not a real place. You better think again. Look at verse 25. But Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Now, when you do a Hebraic study on who Lazarus was, I don't have time to go into depth, but that is someone here on earth who was spiritually bankrupt. It had nothing, and then God shows mercy through Jesus Christ. And this rich man was walking around all his life, proud as a peacock. And look down at the poor. So look at this. But Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you're in agony? And besides, all this between us and you is a great chasm, meaning there's a big, huge, giant gulf, and you can't get an Uber ride up there. There's no transit to get from there to there. There's a gulf, a chasm, meaning you can never get there. From there to there. But from there, down there, you can see up there. Oh, man, that must be real agony. You're tormented, and you're looking up. And God is reminding the unbeliever over and over again, you rejected my son. Look at this. And besides all this, between you and us is a great chasm and has been set in place so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. Man, what have I been saying over these last few weeks? That when you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, God has already secured you in an eternal place. You can never go down there. Can I get amen? Amen. That's the word right here. We that are children of God have been sealed with the Spirit of promise. Look at that. Nor can anyone cross over from there to us. Wow. Oh my gosh. Look at verse 27. He answered, and then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have what? Five brothers. Let them mourn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. Abraham replied, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. Look at verse 30. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. That is a total picture of someone that's dead, that cannot hear and cannot see God. You could tell them until they're blue in the face. Until God makes them come alive, they're in their dead state. That's what God said right here. Oh, Jesus. We serve a mighty God, don't we? He's from everlasting to everlasting. We thank God. You see, saints, it would be a hazardous mistake to conclude that Jesus and Paul is teaching that we should not be concerned about money. No. No, in fact, we should be respectfully asking God for funds which to carry out our responsibilities to help each other. There's nothing wrong with having money. It's what you do with it. This lady, man, took all her savings and says, ka-ching, ka-ching. Man, that could have went to someone's outreach to help feed people. Verse 11 in chapter 6. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience. This is what God is now saying, saint of God. My son, my daughter, flee from those things. You don't need to be a part of that no more. I've delivered you. I've saved you. Now walk worthy of the calling. Now honor the king. And this is what I love about when you are regenerated by the Holy Spirit, you gravitate toward him. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. By being born of the Spirit causes you to draw yourself now to the cross, not run away from it. It's the love of God. And the Spirit of God that lives in you is the love of God. Now God abides in you. Thank you, God. So, saints, in contrast to some of verse 10, who had wandered from the faith in their quest for riches, Paul addressed Timothy as a man of God who should run from all these evil things and instead run to follow what's right and what's good. Can I get an amen? Run to what's good and what's right. God will protect us. God will give us anything that we need according to his will. God is not, do you know that he's not stingy? He's not stingy. He gives us what we need day by day. Did you know you can't live yesterday's day? It's gone. You can't live tomorrow, Thursday. It's not here yet. He gives us one day at a time. So the day that he gives us, honor the king. Honor him. You can't talk about tomorrow. It's not here yet. And yesterday, you can't go back and unsay what you said or done. All you can do, if it was wrong, mercy, Lord. Forgive me, cleanse me, wash me. And he's faithful to do that. Look at 2 Timothy, and we're going to close. Flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And that's what God has given us, a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. You know, some people will, are you a pre-tribber or post-tribber? I always say, I'm a pan-tribber. It's going to pan out the way God wants it. Well, do you believe you can lose your salvation? Or do you believe? Listen, just read God's word. He has all the answers. Just read God. Look, foolish and ignorant disputes. There's some people who will fight you tooth and nail. Well, what dispensation do you think we're in? I don't care what dispensation they're in. I know that I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, waiting for His return. Hallelujah. Come on, you got to believe God for that. Can I get an amen? There's people that, man, they'll just want, look, knowing that they generate strife, all they want to do is argue with you. And guess what? The majority of it is just their opinion. When you try to back it up in the Word, they have no answer. Many folks are biblically illiterate. This is why I love about you guys. You guys come out to learn God's Word. Can I get an amen? Why? Because God is equipping us through His Word. And God, that's what God wants from us, to be equipped with His Word, so we're able to give a man an answer to those who would ask of us. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, be patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. Woo! There's some people, man, they'll just cut and go and have no reason why they left. But God said, you know what? God will grant them repentance. If they come back, just embrace them. Say, it's okay. That's all right. Let's now study God's Word together. We serve a mighty God. An awesome God. So James says this, and we're closing. So give yourselves humbly to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And when you draw close to God, God will what? Draw close to you. Flee that one-armed bandit. Man, get away from that. Run to God. My heart broke when I saw that. She must have been, what, in her 70s? Lost her whole retirement. Had nothing to give to her. Nothing to give as an inheritance, other than maybe a casino card. Here, as a guest, you can go probably have a free buffet. Wash your hands, you sinners. Let your hearts be filled with God alone to make them pure and true to Him. Can I get an amen? Faith and love are a fundamental to Christianity and basic to Paul's teaching. We just need to understand that, be content with what God has given us. Amen? There's nothing wrong with owning things in this world. Only if you have the means to. But if you're begging, borrowing, and stealing just to get something that someone else has, you got it all wrong. But if God has blessed you, then praise God. You give Him all the glory. And you say, God, thank you, because you allowed me to be a steward of what you have given me. And it wasn't spent lavishly and corruptly, but it's to honor the King. And our last verse of Scripture is right here in Corinthians. Let's finish this. Let there be tears for the wrong things you have done. Let there be sorrow and sincere grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Then when you realize your worthlessness before the Lord, He will lift you up and encourage and help you. Man, Lord, that bill, that rent, or that mortgage is around the corner, God. I'm going to trust in you. And He will lift you up. He will make a way. You didn't have to go and connive anyone, because you came to Him. Hallelujah. So we close in Corinthians here. And now abide. Now abide. Faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest gift of all these is love. Can I get an amen? And let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for this Bible study tonight, God. And Lord, I know, Lord, that for some folks, when we talk about money, especially in the church, Sometimes the minds are, oh no, where is this preacher going? Is he going to dig in my pocket? No. This message is that we would guard our heart. That we would be good stewards of what God has given us. Let it always be used for the furtherance of your kingdom and to bless our family. And Lord, everything that comes into our households is because you have allowed it. And you have blessed your children. And we give you praise, glory, and honor for it. And Lord, if there's any extra after everything that we need to do on this earth, Lord, let us bless others. Let us show grace and mercy to those, Lord. Let us not be like the rich man and Lazarus. Let us honor you, the King, in everything that we do. Thank you, Lord, for 1 Timothy chapter 6. And Lord, we just want to give you praise, glory, and honor. And whoever's listening to this message, I pray that you, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, that maybe tonight you heard a message where maybe you're struggling in an area that you need help, and maybe you just didn't see it. Maybe sometimes the Bible says we can be self-deceived, and you need Jesus right now to help you. Well, not only can he help you, if you're not saved, he can save you. Can I get an amen? So if that's you, pray this prayer and ask God with a heart of repentance. You would cry out to the only one that can save you. His name is Jesus. So pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to follow you and to honor you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give a hand clap to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. Can I get an amen?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.